God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from Isaiah the prophet, chapter 40, beginning with the first verse. As during this theme of Advent, we remember that Advent means coming. And we take a look at how our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, comes. And in today's text, we have this message being spoken to the people of Israel. And very importantly, the people of Israel are in exile. And it is a message of restoration. God begins this message by saying, "Comfort, comfort my people." And because of the double use of that word, comfort, means there's a double emphasis on it. God is indeed wanting to bring comfort to his people. And he says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned." And with these words should have brought great comfort to the people of Israel, knowing that, yes, their exile would now be ending, or at least ending sometime soon. It would give them a hope in the midst of the various trials that they were enduring. So as we back up with that to that first word of comfort, let me ask you, what brings comfort into your life? If you've had a very stressful week or a stressful day and you needed to unwind, how would you do that? We live in a society that has come up with many ways of quote-unquote self-comfort. Pardon the pun, but the first one I'm going to begin with would be Southern comfort, referring to the whiskey, that is. Not only do we have indulgence in alcohol, maybe pornography, video games, internet consumptions, maybe it is gambling, but there are many ways that we supposedly derive our comfort. But God here is saying in our text, he's not talking about Southern comfort, my people. No, he's talking about speaking tenderly to them with the forgiveness of sins. A message that should be proclaimed in this church every single week, at every single worship service, whenever we are gathered around word and sacrament. But I will admit, that may not have made your top 10 lists of how to self-comfort when things get rough in your lives. And so we have to come to the realization. Our human nature, who we are as people, have a little bit of a different way of understanding comfort than God's way of comfort. Needless to say, if you take a look at the sales in the stores, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, when all the crowds gathered and waited for the doors to open with people rushing in to buy this item, that item, and the other item, they were buying things of comfort or of presence for other people. And you saw things like big screen TVs, a lot of electronics being sold, and a lot of other different things. This was going to bring a little comfort either to themselves or to someone else. Needless to say, when I opened the doors this morning at about 7 o'clock in the morning, even though it was real bitter cold outside, I did not see any long lines. And I don't think it was because of the weather. It's because we have to fess up. As human beings, we do have a different understanding of what brings us comfort. So we try to comfort ourselves. And God is saying, wait a minute, I will give you this comfort. I will give you this comfort through the forgiveness of sins. And we sit there and think, okay, that's nice, God, but I'd rather have something else. I need something a little bit more. And so what happens when we say to God, your comfort is nice and fine, and I don't want to throw it out, but I really could use a little bit of a pick-me-up here. Well, we have to go back to our text, and we are reminded that God gives his comfort to all. It is in the midst of our own self-distractions, however, that sometimes leave little room for God. Now, fair enough, you made it through the cold weather here today. You are here to hear that word of comfort. But even in the back of our own hearts and minds, we have to ask, Is God's comfort alone enough? And some people would say, no. So let's entertain that for a moment. Let's assume for a moment that if you had wealth and affluence, you could satisfy, supposedly, and acquire all the self-comfort you need. This would sort of beg the question that those who are rich and famous and have that affluence and wealth would be in no pain, while those who are impoverished would be in a great deal of pain. It's interesting, in my understanding of humanity, it almost seems just the opposite. The rich and wealthy seem to be in a lot of pain. And sometimes those people who have just a little or just enough are very, very content with life. So it seems like as human beings, we also struggle with this concept of self-comfort. And so for today's message, we ask ourselves, do we really believe? Do we really trust? Do we really want to apply God's promise of comfort being given to us? And are we going to be satisfied with that? Or are we going to do a little bit of mixing of comfort? A little bit of God's comfort, a little bit of our comfort here, there, and everywhere. Do we truly understand the pain in our lives? And what does it take to overcome that pain? You see, too often we start thinking that the pain is something that's outside of ourselves. You know, we start looking at other people and saying, it's that person over there is causing me pain. It's this circumstance over here that's causing me pain. But in reality, I think we really need to come to the realization, because of the sinfulness of who we are, that pain really comes from within. And that pain is part of that aspect of being stained with sin, which, according to our text in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 2, is forgiven, is pardoned. God says there will be a restoration, there is forgiveness. But when we deny that pain is from within us, and we start pointing to that pain that's supposedly outside of us, what we're doing is we're not allowing God's comfort to come into our lives, because we're denying the true source of that pain. So we pick up the words of today's text. And yes, they were applied to the people of Israel. To give them comfort in the midst of their distress. They were in exile. Why were they in exile? Plain and simple. Their own sin. They had rebelled against God. They weren't trusting in God. They were ignoring God. And God was getting their attention. A giant wake-up call, so to speak. And so in the midst of their pain and their sufferings, being in exile, God is now going to give them hope. Hope that they can hang on to. Hope that they can trust in God, that they now have been forgiven by God Himself. These words should have fallen upon the people of Israel with great joy, that yes, we have a God who does love and care for us. But knowing the human nature, let's just say my guess is that it did not necessarily fall with joy upon everyone. Because when it was time for the exiles to return home, it's interesting. Not all of them did. Some stayed. Getting back to our text for today and our theme for Advent, for the exiles during the time of the prophet Isaiah, they would have heard this as Christ coming to them. God coming to them, restoring that broken relationship. If they valued that relationship and understood the comfort that God would bring, they, of course, would delight in it. If they didn't understand God's comfort, they might be thinking, wait a minute, why am I doing this? Needless to say, the day after Thanksgiving, the stores were crowded. This morning when I opened the doors were empty. Yes, we live in a society where God's comfort is considered sometimes second versus southern comfort. Getting back to our text and our gospel message from this Advent, the gospel, the Advent of the past for the people of Isaiah's time was that God was coming, going to bring that restoration, that return. We can hear that message. But now, how do we apply this beautiful message of comfort for ourselves today? For us today, we realize that, yes, Christ is still coming, and He does come for us here and now in our lives to bring comfort. God does the same thing as He did for the people of Israel, and He brings this comfort through the forgiveness of sins. The Word of God being read and proclaimed. The divine service where God is serving us. And He's not serving us with big screen TVs or great sales, but He's serving us with Himself, Christ, with that bread and wine. And fair enough, Christ could do a miracle. He could change that wine to southern comfort, but that isn't God's intention. His intention is to comfort you with that bread and wine, with His love, with His forgiveness. And then God does something more. As we gather together around His Word and sacrament, He calls us into a community that does love and support one another, a community that does encourage one another, a community that does forgive one another. That is the Advent present. For the Advent future, we, like the people during Isaiah's time, are in exile. We are living in a land that is stained with sin, and God is promising us a restoration, a new promised land, to be with Him in heaven above. So when Christ comes again, that future Advent, that restoration will take place. And we will have that spiritual glorified body without the effects of sin. We will be living in a new heaven and a new earth again without the effects of sin. Something, does it give you comfort? It depends. If you are so attached to the things of this world and so used to self-comforting yourself with the things of this world, being with God in eternal life, living in true joy and peace and love, may not bring you comfort. You may be thinking, where will my toys be? Where will be the things that I've been using to self-medicate my life with temporal comfort in this world? Can we just live on God's comfort alone? That's the challenge that we have to ask ourselves, to our human nature, to ourselves. God is saying, comfort, comfort my people, speak tenderly to them. Their warfare is ended. Their iniquity is pardoned. Do you hear these words with great joy in anticipation of what is yet to come? Or are these words just sort of empty, thinking, I can't wait to go home, and I'll begin my own self-comfort? This day, we ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to give us that strength to increase our faith. Our sinful nature is strong. And sometimes when we hear this message of forgiveness over and over again, we might be thinking, do I really need it? But then go down, deep down inside, within your heart, within your soul. Do you see the church as a place where the soul is going to be healed and restored through God's comfort? Or do you see the place as the church being a place of entertainment, a short-term comfort, just to sort of pass the time of day? It's my hope and pray that we truly understand God's way of bringing comfort to His people through His love, through His forgiveness. He has restored us, all because of the person and work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is in His discomfort upon the cross, that when He suffers and dies, that He brings us comfort. Not in large screen TVs and in electronics or other types of comforts, but through love, through the forgiveness of sins, through the restored relationship that sin separated us from God, Christ restores and brings comfort. He's the one who settles our soul. He's the one that will bring us to be with Him in heaven above. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.